Well, hello, Freedom Church. Welcome. Welcome to the 11 a.m. service. So glad to see everybody. We're here to worship Jesus today, yeah? Let's stand together and just open up with prayer. Lord God, we just welcome you here. And we thank you that you've welcomed us here, your body, your bride, your people. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your work. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we're here to exalt your name. We're here to lift you up today, God.
By your stripes, I'm healed. By your death, I live.
Jesus, I was a prisoner. Come on, sing now. Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. And just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Do you believe it today? By the power of just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Oh, just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. Oh, there's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
Amen. 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 There's nothing that God can't do. Amen. I don't know if you watch the news or whatever that's going on in your world right now. It seems a little hopeless. It seems like there's got to be something. And I was reading Jeremiah chapter 30 this morning, and it says this. This is what the Lord says. Your wound is incurable. Your injury is beyond healing. There is no one to plead your cause, no remedy for your sore, no healing for you. Seems a little hopeless, doesn't it? And he goes on and he begins to tell them what they've done. And how many of you know America needs to repent? I believe that. And then he says this in verse 17, but I will restore you to health. How many of you know God knows how to restore? I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Amen. Just one word. There's something one God can do that nobody else can do, and that is to heal us. To heal us. Would you declare it? Would you declare it right now? Hallelujah.
Oh, come on today. There's nothing our God can't do today and forever. Sing it with me. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can move. But praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a prison wall He can't break through. But praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that a God can't do. Just like we believe. Come on. Just one word. You hear what's broken inside me. Oh, just one word. And You revive every dream. Let's believe today. Touch. I feel the power of heaven. We open our eyes because just one touch. My eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God. There's not a prison wall He can't. up a song to him today. Oh, you're good to us, God. You're good to us, God. We believe in your name. We believe in your power. Your presence is here, so we say, I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Thank you.
place of healing. It's a place where I find freedom. And there's a place my eyes can't see, where my spirit longs to be. And it's a place of healing. It's a place I live in freedom. Oh. So I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna
words, could you just worship him right now? The presence of Almighty God is in this room. He is in this room. He wants to do something in your life. The question is will you let him? Will you let him? Will you humble yourself and allow him to do what he wants to do in every single one of our lives? Will you allow him? Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do, Holy Spirit. Do what you want to do in my life. Do what you want to do in every one of our lives in this room. Because we want to hear from you. We worship you. Not the things that we do, not the people that we come in contact with. We worship you because we want to please you. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning. Speak to us, Lord, in a language that we can understand. Give us something new, Lord. Teach us, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Would you put your hands together for the Lord? If you love him in this place, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, worship team. Could you guys give it up for the worship team real quick? Amen. 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 Well, if this is your first time or first time in a long time, welcome to Freedom Church. For all those who are tuning online, welcome to Freedom Church Online. If you have brought your tithes, your offerings, or your missions giving, there are boxes at the back wall of the sanctuary that you can just slip those in. Or if you forget that they're there, you can go on out, and there are black boxes there that you can just slip in your tithes, your offerings, and your missions giving. So let's go ahead and check out the video announcements on the screen.
Pastor Perry Dismore dreamed up a great idea to raise money for BGMC this August. Several local churches, including Freedom Church, are raising money to purchase a tractor for the Smoky Mountain Dream Center. If we reach $5,000 by August 31st, Pastor Perry will dye his hair neon green. If we raise $10,000 by August 31st, he will shave his head. When Perry's wife, Nicole, found out about this great fundraising idea, she was not amused. The idea of a bald Pastor Perry was less than appealing, so she wants you to vote with your money. When you give, be sure to tell us to save it or shave it, and the side with the most money will get their wish. Vote with your check, cash, or debit card today. After months of distancing, it's time to get back together with the family of God. Although we are conscious about safety, we also need our brothers and sisters during this time of change. At the end of September, we will launch our fall small groups with many choices for growth and interaction among the body of Christ. We are looking for people to lead small groups. We want to provide online groups that meet for discussion, prayer, and fellowship. We also want to provide sermon study groups based on each Sunday's message, and some brand new young adult groups for college age and young professionals. August 30th, we will have a small groups lunch for anyone interested in leading a group. We will outline what's happening and you can decide. Please go to the groups table in the lobby today to sign up for the lunch, or text sign up to 850-386-4924 to sign up for the lunch. It's time to get in a group.
Being a part of a small group has really impacted my life because it's allowed me to build a community, a basis of encouragement. You know, when we have the community, we have people who you can feel like they're there for you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. So it's allowed me to have a group where I can feel comfortable with, people that I trust. Well, it's really helped me deepen my relationship with God by just hearing so many people have different stories, different life impacts, and when we're in those small groups, everybody brings something new to the table. And so just hearing what people have to say, what really, you know, allows them to, you know, have their relationship with God impacts me and allows me to deepen my relationship through hearing other people's stories and being able to really have fellowship with one another. Church community is not just going to church. You're with a family. You're growing together and you develop friendships. And so it really helps strengthen yourself and other people and just give encouragement.
Amen. Hallelujah. Leading a small group's not hard. They give you all the information and stuff and teach you how to do that. We're going to do some Zoom classes and some other things. You'll be able to manage a small group and just create some fellowship. If you are interested, not that you want to or we'd like to, sign up back there. Just delve into it. Practice. We give you permission to practice. Right? You got to dabble in it, see if you like it or not, see if it works for you. It's okay if you try it and don't like it. The worst thing would be to try it and sit and do nothing and miss your opportunity for God to use you. Amen? So I don't know if you heard the scripture I read earlier. Some of you walked in a little convenient time for you. It says this. In Jeremiah chapter 3, this is what the Lord says, your wound is incurable, your injury beyond healing. There is no one to plead your cause, no remedy for your sore, no healing for you. If you watch the news, there's not much hope for America. But I'm going to tell you, God has the final word. He has the final word. Jeremiah goes on to say, and he says some things there about the nation under judgment. Because they gave in to idolatry. They turned their back on God. He says this, but I will restore. Amen. Did you hear that? God is the one who restores. Amen? If you're looking for a political solution, it ain't happening. What's going on in America today is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem, and we have to understand that. I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord. Pray. Seek His face. You know, next week, a week from Friday, our 40 days of fast will end, and some of you have been fasting sugar, and you're just irritable, and all that kind of stuff. But listen, thank you for seeking God. Setting aside some things, sacrificing some time to pray. Because we can't survive unless we humble ourselves and pray. Amen? So I want to know what's wrong with a bald Pastor Perry. I mean, I'm almost offended by that. You know? But listen, this is something that happened. And I'm going to say this to you so you can pray. We made that announcement last week, and lo and behold, someone in our church has a cousin that's vice president to the Southeast John Deere. Amen. So I want you to pray for a God-sized discount on that tractor. Right, Perry? Amen. Can you do that? Is that not cool or what? Right. Amen. And we just thought it was about shaving his head. Well, it is that too. So help us with that. Help us pray and give to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, school started in Wakulla County. And teachers go back tomorrow in Leon. And I think some of the private schools and stuff started last week. And I've asked Josh to come up here. We're going to pray for the teachers. If you're a teacher, a preschool teacher, elementary school teacher, high school teacher, middle school teacher, administrator, would you just stand right now? We just want to. Josh, come. It's trying times. Just give these guys a big hand. Would you do that? Josh, come share a little word of encouragement and pray, would you?
Amen. And as you look around you and see these wonderful servants in our community standing in your midst, if you'd kindly pray for them while we're praying as a body. Lord, we just love you and thank you. I thank you, first of all, that you put a calling on people's hearts to work with young people, to teach them the way in so many different fields. And God, I pray that as these teachers and these educators and these administrators go back into their classrooms and into their schools this coming week and the weeks and the rest of this year, Lord, that you would just give them a mighty anointing of power and understanding and patience and wisdom. God, so many new things going on this year that have been thrown at them in the last minutes, in the final minutes of the countdown, Lord, but I pray that you would just let your protection be upon them. God, that you would shield them from all of the different craziness going on, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, but God, that you would let them be bastions of your presence for those children and for those families and in their subject areas, that you would guide them and give them creativity and patience beyond which that they've ever known. God, I pray that no matter what happens this year, that you would be glorified in them and through them, and that you would hold their hands. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We pray for all of our children, all of our teachers, and all of our administrators, God, that you would let us have a wonderful year.
Amen.
And that you be glorified.
Yes.
And that the community would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, teachers. And we'll continue to pray for you as you start this challenging season in teaching school. This past week, I had the opportunity to walk FAMU campus and do a prayer walk because we're getting ready to start a Chi Alpha on FAMU campus. Isn't that awesome? And Anthony and Heather are here. They lead the Chi Alpha on the FSU, and we've been praying for this for a while, and God's raised up a leader. And come January, we're going to start, I believe the plan is to start some small groups, and then the fall of next year, launch a full thing. But we're going to make some contacts. If you have some contacts at FAMU that can help us, please let us know. But I want you to be praying for that. Amen? It's going to be great. Hallelujah. We had a great time of prayer. About 6-7 pastors were praying, and it was just beautiful. Did my heart good to walk that campus and pray. So you pray for that. Would you do that? Well, I haven't preached in 8-10 weeks now. I'm ready to preach. And Wednesday I will preach on Prophets of Rebellion. If you're not able to be here, I would encourage you to watch online because it's a very timely word God gave me for us and the nation. And Ben's coming to preach. My daughter and son-in-law are here with us today, Micah and Jake. And really, Ben is here to preach to his sister like never before today. So that's really a joke, but it is nothing like a parent watching God use their children. And Ben preached this morning, and you're going to be blessed by this word. And last week I was blessed. Learned something. And I appreciate my son and his heart for God. And so, Ben, come. My greatest fear is I'm next week when I preach, it's going to be like a letdown. Because these guys have done an amazing job preaching. Give them a hand. Bless you, Ben.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. It's not the sister I'm preaching to, it's the brother-in-law. I'm just kidding. Wow, thank you. Well, last week I brought a brick with me to church, and this week I brought a battery, and I put it in the mic, and it was dead. What good is that? A dead battery. But, you know, can we just, at the beginning here, stand together? We're going to kind of really delve in here, and I just want us to stand. And I want us to, if you'll agree with me today in prayer over God's word. Lord Jesus, we come together today, God. In your name, we gather at your feet. Our teacher, our Savior. Lord, I pray, God, I bind the work of Satan, who would wish you to pluck this word from our hearts, that would wish to intercept this, to keep it from bearing fruit in our lives. I bind his work in the name of Jesus. We gather today, not before the stale and word of God, but the living, active word of God. Bring it to life in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, we're finishing up today with Who is the Church? And last week we talked how God is building a building, a spiritual building of living stones, how it's marvelous in our eyes. And we talked about the church. So when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, that word, it was an assembly, a gathering of Christ. And from what I read about this word, ecclesia, I believe when they heard it with their ears in that day, they would have understood that this was a gathering, not just a happen to be people together, but like a purposeful gathering, an assembly of the community, of the leaders, a purpose for deliberation, to come to an agreement. And I want to start today, as we get into this, I want to go just a little bit ahead. Because after Jesus says this, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not stand against it. We see that 6 days later, Jesus takes some of his friends to church. And it says that 6 days later, he took Matthew and help me out. Not Matthew. Peter, James, and John. Those three. He took those three up onto the mountain. It says he was transfigured before their eyes. And the glory of the Lord came, and Moses and Elijah were there talking with Jesus. And he shone like the sun, and his clothes were whiter than the whitest white you could imagine. Whiter than Tide or OxyClean could ever get them. That's what the scripture says. Little different words, but. And they beheld the glorious word of God, Jesus, transformed. It says they were just terrified and taken aback. You know, just like a human, just like us, you know, they're like, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And Peter's, I got to do something. I got to do something with my hands. I just got to do something. So he says, well, I'm going to build a tent. You know, see, I think Peter, we see in this that Peter was the first Royal Ranger commander. He saw what he were up on a mountain. Moses, wow, this is, we're going camping. So he's ready and alert. And he says, we should build a tent. But you know, the church doesn't gather just for the sake of gathering. The church doesn't gather to set up camp. And while he's thinking this, while he's saying this, in other words, he's interrupted by the cloud of God. And the voice comes forth, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And that's the most succinct summary of the entire Word of God, I think, can be summed up with God standing there. Listen to me. Just like any father, any parent to his children. Listen to me. That's what we find ourselves saying. This is my son. Listen to him. And I wish we had, you know, more time today to go back and look at Moses on the mountain with the people of God. And the cloud of glory that came, and Moses' face shone, and the voice of God thundered from that mountain, and his commands were written on the tablets of stone. But the scriptures say about that, that that day they heard a voice, but saw no form. But I want to say on this day, there was a voice and there was the form. There was the embodied word of God standing before them. And as they cowered in fear, what does it say? Jesus drew near to them, put his hand upon them, said, "Don't be afraid." Jesus touched them. I believe what's being signified here, God is drawing near and he's writing his words, not on tablets of stone, but on living stones, on hearts of flesh. See, the church gathers to listen and obey the word of God. The word of God. We see through Acts, we see through the New Testament that the church took this seriously. They gathered. Everywhere you look, the church is gathering. They gather to sing. They gather to teach. They gather to pray. They gather to make decisions and gather to break bread and fellowship. In Hebrews 10:25, we're encouraged not to neglect the gathering, but to what? To encourage one another. In the verse before, it says, think about how you can spur one another on to good deeds. See, the gathering of Christ goes beyond just a physical meeting. Christ is building a connected people, attentive to the needs of each other, aware, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, just like our bodies are joined together and we have a nervous system that goes throughout. So that when you walk through your house at night and you step on that Lego, your whole body knows about it. It gets the message and you jump like you rarely ever jump. And the body comes to the comfort of your poor foot. And 1 Corinthians 12:24 says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Come on, there's a place for you today. God has put the body together. Just as God gathered dust off the earth and formed a body for man, a body for Adam, God is gathering people from the earth to build his body, the body of Christ. Christ's gathering isn't just a meeting, it's a union. It's a joining together of us, joined together with him. This is what he spilled his blood for. Look at Revelations 5, verse 9 and 10. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Purchased with the blood of Christ. See, Jesus counted the cost. He counted the cost. He knew this purchase that he was making for God was an assembly required purchase. You ever made an assembly required purchase? It says that on, sometimes it says some assembly, but we know that's a lie. It's assembly required. And you knew what you were getting. You saw the picture online or the picture on the box. You're getting this beautiful, beautiful bed or beautiful, beautiful table or chest of drawers. But what you didn't know is hours later, you'd be on the ground, surrounded by hundreds of pieces, blood, sweat, and tears. How do I put this thing together? And you get almost there, and there's a piece missing. Come on. Jesus knew that we were an assembly required purchase. But Jesus saw the end result. Come on, the scripture says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and paid the price, and that it was finished, that we have everything we need to live in fellowship with one another and with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the culmination point today, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in divine fellowship with the people of God in the church. The church is the union of believers, and it's precious and holy in God's sight, and it should be in ours as well. We should cherish the fellowship that we have with one another because it's a gift from God. Amen. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Help me, Jesus. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Philippians 1, 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, before there was a commission to go make disciples, there was the command, love one another. How can the army receive its marching orders unless it's first gathered together? Jesus said it in John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Okay, Jesus, what are your commands? What do we need to do? What do we need to do? My command is this. The very next verse says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. And he said earlier, again, in John 13, 34, a new command I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How many times does he say it? In one breath, love one another. See, in our responsibility to the gospel, there's a priority for the church to be the church. There's a priority for the church to be the body of Christ, unified in love. Because there's got to be a city on the hill. And how foolish will we look if we're out proclaiming the goodness of God, if the house of God is not reflecting that goodness? There's got to be a city on the hill shining. If we're going to proclaim his love, then we need to be a reflection of that love. And we need to keep the house in order. There's the brand Under Armour, and their slogan is, protect this house. And we got to protect this house. Why? Because Jesus gives us this principle. He said this, a house divided will not stand. And interestingly, when Jesus was talking about this, he's talking about Satan and his house. The Pharisees had come and accused Jesus of being able to drive out demons by the authority of the devil himself, that Jesus was possessed by an unclean spirit. But Jesus knew their thoughts and knew in truth that they were not on the side of truth. In other place, he says, your father is the devil. Your father is the father of lies. But he says in Matthew 12, 26, if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. And I read this, and to me what jumps out, the implication is that Jesus knows that Satan is not divided against himself, that Satan and his house are united over his purpose to steal, to kill, destroy, to disrupt the work of God in any way that he can. See, there is another gathering. Psalms 2:2 says, "The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel. They gather together against the Lord and against his anointed, his Christ, his Messiah." See, Jesus knew that there was an enemy gathered against the kingdom of God. And Jesus knew that he would be sending his church against the strong man's house. Come on, this is why he sanctified himself, went to the cross, and was killed. But behold, he is alive forever, and he holds the keys of death and Hades. He tells us himself in Revelation 1, "I'm alive forevermore." And Jesus holding the keys means that he has authority over them. And Jesus passes on this authority. Jesus lays a mantle upon the church. Christ passed this down to the church. Matthew 16:18-19, we read it, that he's building his church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Then he says this in verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What an awesome, awesome authority. I can't even believe it today, that this is the authority Jesus passes on to the church to bind up the activity of Satan and to release the things of the kingdom. But we need to see and understand that Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. It means he has authority over them, and Jesus has authority over them because he won the victory over them. Because he consecrated himself pure and holy, that he became the spotless Lamb of God. And when his innocent blood was spilled and cried out from the ground, it was a better word, and death could not hold him. Death had no claim on him. I want you to catch something, that Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Heaven, did not overcome by power or by might. Jesus overcame in his obedience to the Father. Without Christ's obedience, there would be no victory. And like Jesus, the church cannot walk in authority where we do not have victory. And our victory is in Christ. If we're not joined together with Christ, we do not have any victory to speak of. Let's be sure. Let's be clear. The victory is the Lord's. Just like it was God who tore down the walls of Jericho, and the children of Israel walked in obedience. And once the walls were torn down, they went into the city and plundered it. Jesus has delivered the death blow to Satan and sealed his fate. He's tied up that strong man. He's tied up the strong man, and his children now plunder the house, pushing back darkness, taking back what he's stolen from the kingdom of God. And we today can walk in obedience and be a part of Christ's gathering, or not. Or not. Those are the options. He goes on in Matthew 12, he goes on in verse 30 to says, "Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters." See, Jesus leaves no room for an in-between, no room for passivity, no room for, "Well, that all sounds pretty intense. I think I'll just hang out back here, see how all that goes down. I'll try to be a good person." No. It says we can be gathered or we can be scattered. And the Lord's will for us today is to be gathered unto him with his word written on our hearts. But the adversary wants to plant seeds of division. See, where God wants to gather, the enemy wants to scatter. It's anti-gathering. And see, disobedience is sin, and sin divides, and a house divided against itself will not stand. And sin brings dysfunction and division into the body. And this is why this authority God, Jesus passes down is so important. This is why the language about sin is so stern throughout the New Testament. We see things like, "Watch out, be on your guard." At one point it even says, "Flee." It's Satan's attempts to divide what God has brought together. Paul talked about, he said, I'm talking about a profound mystery. The two shall become one, and what God has put together, let no man bring apart. And Jesus has purchased with his blood his connected and joined together body. So we see that along with this authority to bind and loose, that Jesus also passes on this authority. In John 20, verse 23, and we read the first part of this last week, this is how the church received power. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then right after that, he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the sins, forgiveness, if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Can we just stop and let that sink in? Jesus passes this on to the church, this literal matter of life and death. If you forgive, it will be forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. See, it's with this that Jesus, that God is giving the church the ability to maintain the unity of the Spirit. This is the stewardship over the vineyard, to cultivate and to prune. Jesus puts it very simply in Luke 17, 3 and 4. He says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Why? Because forgiveness and repentance stops the rot of sin, stops the division that the enemy wants to bring. And Jesus expands on this further in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. He says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. You've maintained the fellowship, the unity. But if he doesn't listen to you, take one or two more, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, have nothing to do with him. Truly I say to you, and here it is again, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. And we can see that the church, as the disciples stepped into apostleship and began building the church, they understood this. They understood the mantle that Jesus had passed on. They understood that where the church gathered in the name of Jesus, that he is there. And who is he? Who is there? The Holy Savior, the Holy God. So they also in that understood that they needed to be mindful of how they gathered and with what they gathered. We can see that Paul understood it. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4, listen to this echo of Jesus' words. He says, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present, along with the power of our Lord Jesus. See, Paul understood. He understood that where two or three were gathered, that Jesus was there, gathered in his name, and the power of the Lord is there. And we know this verse of Scripture, God, like the word from God that we received during worship. We know this. We hear it. We memorize it. Yes, yes, yes. Where two or three are gathered, it's in the book. Amen. Where two or three are gathered, he is there. Where two or three are gathered, he is there. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen next when Paul understands that when they're assembled together, that Jesus is there. Let's see, verse 5, he says, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Yikes. Maybe not what we were expecting. But we read that passage of Scripture, we see that Paul has heard that there's a man living in sin, unrepentant, And for some reason, the church says he's boastful about it. They're boasting. And Paul says, you should be mourning. You should have put this person out of your gathering. He goes on in verse 6, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new, unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. 1 John 1, verses 5 and 6. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, the promise of where two or three are gathered, it's a wonderful promise. And it does give us much reason to rejoice. But it's also just as much reason for reverence. Just as much reason to watch out, to examine ourselves. Because where there's a gathering, there's a separation. Where there's gathering, there's separating. The word of the Lord says, come out from among them. Be separate. Be holy as I am holy. Be gathered unto me. So what am I saying today? Am I saying that we need to look around the room this morning and see who we need to kick out? No. No, I'm saying that we are the body of Christ. That we should be attentive to one another. That we should watch out for one another. As we look and watch out, as we look with not arrogant eyes, but eyes filled with love, that we see someone who's hurting, someone who's struggling, we should help them. Or likewise, if someone has offended us, someone has sinned against us, we should go to them so that there be no division. So that there be no division. So that Satan has no opportunity. Isn't it what the Word of God says? Before we worship, before we fellowship in union with Christ, if there be any division, because we have an adversary. We have an adversary. If you need proof of that today, you just go read Acts 4 and 5. And you'll see the church that understands that they're gathered in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, and they pray, and the building that they're in is shaken. And it says that they lived in perfect unity, in one accord, and they shared everything, and nobody had a need for anything. And it reminds me of the Garden of Eden. It reminds me, it was beautiful, it was perfect, but just like then, we see in just a few more verses that there was still a deceiver on the loose. Just a few verses later, God himself removes Ananias and Sapphira from their midst. And Peter proclaims in the wisdom of the Spirit that Satan had filled their ears. So we have an adversary, like a lion on the prowl. And we're safe. Blessed are those who take refuge in Lord Jesus. Come on, we're safe. But that lion is there. And if you watch some Nat Geo, you'll see that the lions always go after the weak, the stumbling, the sick, the old, the young, those that fall behind. So if we see somebody stumbling, if we, the body of Christ, recognize a member who's struggling, who's burdened, that we should go to them, that we should attempt to get them back on their feet, that we should encourage them in the Holy Spirit, restore them in love. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently with humility. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. You who live by the Spirit. And this today is what it really all comes down to. Everything we said about this gathering, about this body, can be said about this body, about this house, that a house divided will not stand. And if I could only say one thing today, it would be this, that the body is only as healthy as its members. The body is only as strong as its individual parts. I would say to you, Jesus' words, pay attention to yourselves. See, if there's going to be a gathering of the body of Christ, then there's got to be a gathering in here, in you and in me, gathered unto the Lord in fellowship with Jesus. There's got to be a gathering of our allegiance. Choose this day whom you will serve. A gathering of our affections to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And a gathering of our resolve to strive together for the faith of the gospel. So there needs to be union, a fellowship with Christ in our hearts, being crucified with him, joined with him in death, but joined with him in life, alive with him. Romans 6, 12 through 13 says this, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting your members, the members of your body, to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We have this responsibility not only to God, but to each other. To each other, to be healthy, functioning members of the body of Christ, so we can stand firm together. This is the responsibility and the authority we receive. But let me remind you that we cannot have authority where we do not have victory. It's out of the overflow of your heart you'll be able to better serve, to better love in the body of Christ, thus fulfilling Jesus' commands. You have the opportunity to be an instrument of righteousness, an instrument of encouragement, restoration. But your house needs to be in order. Didn't Jesus say, first, remove the plank from your own eye? Then you'll be able to rightly divide. See, the word of truth, sharper than any two-edged sword, can divide, can come in and cut around the parts that need to be gathered unto him and sweep out everything that doesn't. That is sanctified in the truth, the word of God. Doesn't it say that before we eat the bread, before we partake in the body of Christ, that we should examine ourselves? Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Sweep every last bit of leaven out of the house. Gather me in fellowship with you, O Lord. See, God, I just believe that God is speaking today of our high and heavenly calling to be his glorious house, his glorious temple, to be his beautiful body, to put his love on display. And the power of the Holy Spirit is within us. The power of the Holy Spirit is within us to resist the devil, to say no to ungodliness. We gather our allegiance to Christ and say no to things that would hinder us and cause us to be less than that which God has called us to be. Stand firm. Say no to temptation. Say no, devil, I'm not going to allow something that will hinder me from my purpose in the body of Christ. I'm not going to let division come in. I'm not going to let something in that would keep me from being a better husband, a better father, a better servant to my fellow brothers and sisters in the body. I'm going to live by the Spirit so I can better encourage and strengthen the body of Christ. I'm laying down my life for my friends. Therein we begin to follow in Christ's footsteps. Therein we begin to obey his command. I feel like any message I ever get to preach, I could close with this verses of scripture. And it's It's Jesus interceding for you and interceding for me, interceding over his disciples, his spiritual children, and their spiritual children, and their spiritual children, and their spiritual children. And he says this in John 17, 14 through 21. Praying to the Father, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Can we stand together today? Hey. Can we stand together today? Gathered together today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church of God, the assembly of the Lion of Judah. And what we're going to do right now is basically have communion. We don't have the elements today to share, but what really the spiritual, the truth behind it is, as we stand as the body of Christ, like the word says, we examine ourselves. Before we partake of the body, that we examine ourselves. And that as the body of Christ, we be attentive to the needs of each other. As the people of God, we watch out and look out and think of ways that we can spur each other on. So what I want to do is provide an opportunity for those in this room who are carrying a burden. Who are carrying a burden, who may be struggling. Whatever it may be. It may be a physical need or need for provision. It might be an attack of the enemy. It might be temptation. But there's a burden. They're burdened. And I want us, as the body of Christ, when they raise their hands, if they would like to in a moment, that we would look around with the eyes of Christ. That we would see those who have a burden. We would see the other members of the body crying out, help me. I need help. And the altar workers are ready today. Those hands that are raised, I'm not going to ask them to come forward. Those altar workers are going to go to them. Just as Jesus drew near to us. See, because it's not always a realistic, you know, we sit back and say, well, somebody needs help, they'll ask for help. But that's not a realistic expectation all the time. We need to be looking out for one another with spiritual eyes. So as they, in a moment, they raise their hands, if you're seated around someone who raises their hand, just stretch your hand towards them. Lift them up, encourage them. If an altar worker could find them and go to them in encouragement, and prayer and strengthening anybody who's burdened today, who's carrying a burden, and they feel they're faltering under the weight of it. If that's you, could you raise your hand today? Raise your hand high so people can see it. This is not a judgmental, there's no condemnation in the house of God, because we're here by the grace, the mercy. Just look around where you're seated. And altar workers, you look around and begin to move out into the body of Christ. Move to the members of the body who need encouragement today. We share in the body of Christ. We share in his victory. Oh God, let's take a moment and pray. Oh God. God, we lift our eyes to you this morning. You are where our help comes from. Knit our hearts together, O Lord. Bound in the unity of the Spirit. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. God, you bind up every wound in this place today. That you lift every burden, Lord. No matter what it is, we know that our God is able, that our God is able to meet every need. Let's lift up your voice in prayer today for our brothers and sisters, for the body of Christ. That you come to each of us, Lord. God, you'd make us, equip us, free us, God, in Jesus' name, to be effective and fruitful members of the body of Christ. If there's anyone else in here today that says, there needs to be a gathering in me. That I need to lay this house back on the altar. That I need fellowship with Christ. That there's something holding me back. There's something that's dividing me, bringing division. And today I want to share in the victory of Christ. If there's anyone in here that in view of God's mercy, you would offer yourself as a sacrifice pleasing and holy to God and be transformed by his word today. No longer conformed to the things of the earth or the things of the world, but transformed, just like Jesus was transfigured before them. The word of God sanctify you and set you apart, bind you by the Spirit to your Lord and Savior. If that's anybody, if you would want to come forward and find a spot here at the altar, come and rebuild the altar of your heart. Come and rebuild the altar to consecrate yourself, your house, to the Lord in the Spirit of truth. Let's come before him today. and worship him in spirit and truth.